Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm William.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything tabletop role playing games.
And today we are talking about the Acts of Dwarvish Lords.
Welcome, adventurers, to the Dungeon Cast.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Will.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm curious. I'm very curious.
Yes.
What do these dwarves, of the Lords of Dwarves, do?
Well, they're mostly dead.
And how do they act?
I mean, they acted valiantly, well, until they didn't. We'll get into it. We're going to get into the history. Did I miss a joke?
Yeah, because it's act sounds a lot like act, to act.
Oh, my.
Yeah. It's like, oh, okay, I'll go with that.
Yeah. I didn't see it.
For those of you that are new to the show, I like to do an improv comedy bit with the start of, with the title of the episode of Somehow, and Will ask me how I'm doing. You got it.
Yeah.
You got it.
Half the time, I miss it.
I'm just here doing what I do.
Brian.
Yes.
Dwarves.
Yes.
They have a reputation of making things.
They do.
High quality things.
Yeah, and digging holes.
That as well.
Very complex.
Highly magical things, mm-hmm. I would even say. Dare I say artifacts?
Oh, shit. What year is it?
This episode is going to be all about dwarves, dwarfishness, and the things dwarves make.
All right.
Well, specifically one thing that some dwarf and or maybe multiple dwarves definitely made.
Yes, okay.
An artifact by the name of the Acts of Dwarvish Lords. I obviously don't need to remind you what year it is.
No, I reminded you.
Indeed. Well, I mean, I knew.
Sort of. Yeah, but it's reminders.
Indeed.
You know.
The year of the artifact.
That's right. That's the year that we talk about magical, cool stuff.
Indeed.
I like the multiple spellings of dwarfish in the notes so far.
Hey, man.
There's several different
ones. I do what I can.
Yeah.
Well, today's artifact goes all the way back to early original D&D, and over the course of its existence, it has been given quite the reputation. Some say the axe only works for dwarves. Others say it can give you the abilities of dwarves. Some say it will literally turn you into a dwarf.
Okay.
And who made this thing? Well, we have multiple origin stories on today's Dungeon Cast.
I can see how all these things could be true, too, because like there's like belts and stuff that give you like giant powers, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's get into it.
Yeah.
The Axe of the Dwarvish Lords is an artifact, a unique magical weapon of great power within the context of the game. It'd be weird if it had great power outside the context of the game.
I know, just in the real world.
Whoa. Long associated with the world of Greyhawk campaign setting, the Axe made its first appearance in the small staple supplement booklet, Eldritch Wizardry, which has now come up quite a few times this year. There's a lot of artifacts in there. And a lot of artifacts tend to originate in the Greyhawk setting and came out very, very early in the game's existence. And I believe we established in an early episode this year that the Eldritch Wizardry supplement came out in 1976.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm telling you, it has all the artifacts in it. So I have theorized that maybe 1976 was also Year of the Artifact. And maybe these Dungeon Cast Years of the are simply part of a greater D&D Zodiac we were hitherto unaware of.
Yeah, we're now in the cycle, and we're not in control of what goes on this show.
Nope.
A great two-headed demon lord is.
It has been ordained.
Yeah.
The Axe was later presented in a number of publications in Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. An eventual module titled Axe of the Dwarvish Lords, involving the artifact, was even published under the TSR imprint in 1999. In the adventure, the player characters must retrieve their artifact, the Axe of the Dwarvish Lord, from an evil wizard who has stolen the powerful weapon and intends to use it to marshal a massive goblin army against the dwarven community, all while avoiding an agent of the Darrow god, Darinka, which I don't know much about Darinka, and we haven't really talked much about Darrow.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not coming
up very
much.
Darrow are an Underdark race they're kind of like what the Drow are to elves, are kind of like that, but the Duergar also kind of fill that niche. So,
yeah, that's what I was going to say. Okay, yeah. So they're dwarves, but
they are kind of.
They're weird Underdark dwarves, even though like the Duergar are Underdark creatures,
yes.
Also.
There are two creatures that fill the exact same niche, and the Darrow have kind of been. I know they're a thing in Forgotten Realms, more than other settings, in my understanding. But I feel like the Duergar have kind of like pushed them.
And the Duergar also aren't exclusively Underdark creatures. They're also just like in mountains.
Yeah, it's true.
And holes or whatever. They're definitely not surface dwellers.
I think Darrow are exclusively Underdark creatures. I could be wrong. We haven't done a Darrow episode. Maybe we will.
Yeah, so we don't know about that, especially me.
So third edition detailed out the axe in the Epic Level Handbook.
Okay.
And both fourth and fifth edition included versions of the artifact in their original Dungeon Master's Guides. Over the course of editions, the axe has been depicted in a number of ways. In its earliest form in Eldritch Wizardry, the artifact is described as a short-handled axe backed by a claw hammerhead.
Okay, cool.
The Book of Artifacts describes it as an axe with intricate runes that are etched into its blade, which is also plated with gold. The axe head seems extraordinarily flimsy until tested, when the cunning work of the carving and the temper of the steel shows the weapon's true strength. The hammer is made to look like an erupting volcano, with the flames forming the head's jagged prongs.
That's fucking cool.
Yes.
So the Epic Level Handbook, that specifically refers to levels 20 to 30?
Yes, that's what that handbook is about. And there's a couple artifacts in there. One we spoke about earlier this year. I don't remember which one.
Yeah, that's the only reason I know about it, I think. Yeah. Okay, and then, we got a Wand of Orcus situation going on here with like different styles of it.
Yeah, I'm not even done yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right. So 5e sources do not outright describe the Axe of Dwarvish Lords, but it does have some official artwork that looks nothing like the previous description above.
Okay.
It is still a short-handled axe, but now the entire piece is made of or completely plated in gold. Rather than runes, the axe is covered in intricate filigree and studded with precious gems of various kinds. Sapphire, emeralds, and what looked to be either amethyst or rubies. I'm slightly colorblind, so I couldn't tell. The axe is topped with a large bluish diamond. I would love for you to pull it up.
I did just now. And yes, it's an incredibly accurate description, and it's just as ostentatious as it sounds.
For sure. Would you say those are rubies or amethysts?
You know, is that... Holy shit, good question.
Yep. It's definitely difficult to tell.
It's definitely red or purple.
It's one of them.
I don't know.
Okay, cool. It's not just me.
You know, I've been seeing a lot of newer cars on the road lately that are like these weird... I think it happened three times on a drive I was on yesterday. I was like, what color is that?
Oh, yeah.
To my co-passenger. They were like...
Unsure.
Gray? Brown? Silver? I don't know.
We were just like... That's interesting. Yeah, I don't know. Keep my eye out.
This red is reminding me of that.
Interesting.
Purple?
Interesting.
I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like purple red. It's hard to tell.
Yeah.
So there are two origin stories for the Axe of the Dwarvish Lords. I will go with the more popular one first. I'm pretty sure it's the canonical one, and it is the one that 5e has gone with.
Okay.
So seeing the peril his people faced, a young dwarf prince, Silvervane Moradin's son, came to believe that his people needed something to unite them. Thus, he set out to forge a weapon that would be such a symbol. Venturing deep under the mountains, which ones are unclear, deeper than any dwarf had ever delved, the young prince came to the blazing heart of a great volcano. With the aid of Moradin, the dwarven god of creation, he first crafted four great tools. The brutal pick, the earth heart forge, the anvil of songs, and the shaping hammer. With them, he forged what was originally called the fierce axe.
Okay.
Armed with the artifact, the prince returned to the dwarven clans and brought peace. His axe ended grudges and answered slights.
I bet it did.
The clans became allies, and they threw back their enemies and enjoyed an era of prosperity.
Oh, man. Or died.
This young dwarf is remembered as the first king. When he became old, he passed the weapon, which had become his badge of office, to his heir. The rightful inheritors passed the axe on for many generations until it eventually came to be called the Axe of the Dwarvish Lords, symbol of the One Clan.
My children, should anyone dispute your rule, kill them with this.
Exactly.
It is how I've maintained order all this time.
Absolutely. So later, in a dark era marked by treachery and wickedness, the One Clan was shattered and the Age of the High Kings broken when Brassbeard slew his uncle, King Irontooth of Moradin's son, out of greed for the artifact. The axe was lost in the ensuing bloody civil war. Centuries later, the dwarves still search for that axe, and many adventurers have made careers of chasing after rumors and plundering old vaults to find it.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, it sounds very valuable.
Very cool.
An alternate version of the myth can be found in Dragon Magazine 245.
Yeah, it's back.
It's back. You gotta love Dragon Magazine. According to dwarven legend, Moradin Allfather crafted the bodies of the first seven dwarves at his great forge and gave them souls by blowing onto his creations to cool them.
Gross.
When the first dwarves woke, Moradin had left just two tools for his children, a hammer and an anvil. With these, the first seven lords of the dwarves crafted a relic called the Axe of the Dwarvish Lords, the first dwarven weapon. They sang as they worked, keeping time with the rhythm of hammer and bellows, and this song gave the axe its magical powers.
That sounds like some shit you made up because you forgot the original.
Yes, exactly. Story. I'm like, don't get me wrong, it sounds cool, but who gave the person who wrote this the okay to just rewrite like all that history?
I accidentally burned the OG like scripture in my forge when I was needed to. I thought it was tinder, and now I'm just.
That's too funny.
I gotta tell these fools something.
Right. Make it up. It has been suggested that the axe has been lost and rediscovered dozens of times since its creation, each time heralding great change and turmoil among the dwarves. But according to dwarven prophecy, when the axe is found again, the Age of High Kings will return and the dwarven peoples will be reunited at last.
Okay.
So the powers of the Axe of the Dwarvish Lords has altered between editions in some wild fashions at that. The Book of Artifacts states that the axe has all the powers of a +3 sword of sharpness and a +3 hammer of throwing. Additionally, it confers on its user the keen eyesight and sense of the dwarven race. And the wielder can summon an earth elemental once a week.
Oh.
However, the artifact's possessor faces certain inherent disadvantages imposed by the intense magic of the weapon if they are not dwarven. The longer the item is in a non-dwarf person's possession, the more that person's appearance will begin to become dwarf-like. Facial hair, shrinking in height, increasing girth.
Hey, Dan, you're getting pretty thick, man. You think you should put that axe down?
What do you mean?
What are you talking about? You're saying the axe is making me thick? Yeah, dude. I think maybe, I don't know. Like,
what did you just say to me?
You know, I ought to kill you and become king. I mean,
maybe I should put it down.
Hold on a second.
In its third edition printing, the axe was stated to be a +6 keen throwing goblinoid bane dwarven war axe. Any dwarf who holds it doubles the range of their dark vision. Any non-dwarf who grasps the axe takes 2 points of temporary charisma damage. These points cannot be healed or restored in any way while the axe is held. The current owner of the axe gains a +10 bonus on craft, armor smithing, blacksmithing, gem cutting, stone masonry, and weaponsmithing checks. The wielder of the axe can summon an elder earth elemental, duration 20 rounds, once per week. And then 4th edition made the axe sentient, which isn't always a nice touch.
All right.
Stating that the axe of the dwarvish lords is taciturn, even by the standards of sentient weapons from the mists of ancient history. It communicates in gruff commands only its bearers can hear. It urges its bearer to battle any giants encountered, becoming sullen when refused this honor. Forey also listed out the axe's personal life goals. Goals of the axe of the dwarvish.
I love Forey.
Forey's great.
It's stupid and it's equal parts stupid and cool.
Yeah. Goals of the axe of the dwarvish lords. Goal 1, help the dwarves flourish in keeping with their ancient traditions. 2, give goblins, and especially giants, the deaths they so richly deserve.
Okay.
3, become an inspiration to honorable people everywhere.
Wow. It's a tall order.
Okay, give me a second. We will get into the 5e version when we go over the stat block and roll up some of the artifact properties, but Pathfinder has a version of this artifact I thought it was pertinent to go over as well. Pathfinder's version is called the Axe of Dwarven Lords, except for it's not, because if you actually look in the written lore, they switch to Axe of Dwarvish Lords, and it confused me, Brian. It confused me.
Yeah, it's Axe of Dwarvish Lords in 5e and Axe of Dwarven Lords in
Pathfinder
Archives 2. Of Nethys.
Yes, yeah. But if you read the lore on a lot of the Pathfinder wiki or source books, the lore itself says Axe of Dwarvish Lords, which super confused me.
Okay.
But we're going to get into it because I think the lore is still pretty solid.
Okay.
So when the dwarves completed the generations-old quest for the sky under the lead of their great king Targic, the success was not without its implication. So again, I'm new to Pathfinder. My understanding here is dwarves lived deep underground and they never came out. And they actually decided to dig their way out in the search for the sky.
That's cool. That's on point with some friends at the table, dwarven lore, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, for sure. Many dwarves feared the all-revealing light, the exposure to the weather, the open sky, and the countless weird creatures of the alien surface. For thousands of dwarves, reaching the surface only convinced them that they should have stayed in the deep earth. Mm-hmm. Targic sensed the fear growing, and he gathered the leaders of his people in a hidden cavern. remembered as the Conclave of the Final Deep, and together they constructed a simple forge. With ore they brought from the depths of their ancient homeland and strange new metals discovered on the surface, they crafted a symbol of their people and poured into it their strength, resolve, legends, memories, and the blessings of Torag. When it was done, King Targic addressed his people, raising the axe of the Dwarven Lords. He convinced them that the traditions of the old nations might forge wonders from the riches of the new world and embolden them to face the challenges of the surface.
I think I got a little bit of a Targic in me. I think if I was underground, I came up to this shit.
Let's just go back, guys.
This ain't it.
This ain't it.
It's fucking first of all, it's fucking bright out there. I don't like it. Second of all, you seen this shit they're doing up here in America?
So... this is a little bit off topic, but it's kind of pertinent. So I've read and I've heard that one of the first things that astronauts have to get used to when they come back down from like the space station is the smell.
Oh,
apparently Earth stinks, bro. And I imagine these dwarves that they would feel like that when they broke. Whoa, let's go back.
This doesn't stink enough.
I think it would stink worse.
Oh, really? I think it'd be the other way.
Yeah, it could be. Could be.
You're in your tunnel, breathing your homie's air.
I guess that's true. That's true. All right.
If you do a nut in space, do it push you back?
No. The axe of dwarvish lords passed through the hands of many kings, but was stolen by unknown thieves during the Chaos of the Five Kings War. After this point, it changes many hands, but ends up in the possession of the ancient magma dragon. I want to say that's Moshabat.
I'm lost in the notes. I'm trying to find it.
It's either that or it's Moskabat.
Moskabat.
I think it's Moshkabat.
Well, in true dungeon cast tradition, we will say it every way.
Yes.
And be wrong about every single one of them.
Moshabat. Moving on.
Well, can you click where you are? I cannot find it. Because I just found it. I scrolled up. I went too far down.
Nice.
Yeah, Moskabat.
Yeah.
I did it right, definitely.
Okay, for sure. Now the dragon is the keeper of the dwarves' most precious artifact and the key to a lost golden age of dwarven culture. Few items are as linked to the pride of a people as the Axe of Dwarvish Lords. Those who claim it should consider the following. The Axe of Dwarvish Lords is a symbol of the pride and heritage of an entire people. What's more, it's also a priceless historical artifact. Though the dwarves have made efforts to keep their great citadels in repair, there could be no question that dwarves lose a little more of their ancestral ways with each generation born on the surface. Many dwarves believe reclaiming the axe is vital to reuniting their people and beginning a new age of dwarven ingenuity. Most dwarven lords would pay any price to recover the axe, as doing so would win them instant esteem and authority among their people, and just as many would do all that it takes to wrest the artifact from non-dwarf hands. The Axe of Dwarvish Lords seeks dwarf hands to wield it, and should it not find such a bearer, legend claims it reshapes its owner as it prefers.
Right.
Those who wield the axe for an extended period of time find themselves becoming increasingly hairy, growing more accustomed to the dark, and potentially changing height by up to an inch per week.
Oh my god.
Anyone who
that is so fucking fast. I know. Are you serious?
Anyone who possesses the Axe of the Dwarvish Lords for more than a week transforms into a dwarf 1d4 weeks later as if affected by the spell reincarnate.
Oh, my God.
This effect can only be reversed by a miracle or wish spell.
That's insanity.
I love it.
You're not dwarven enough. I will make you dwarven enough.
Exactly. It's so true.
Oh, man. Dwarves are made, not born.
Apparently.
Well, dwarves are made and then born.
Yeah, I guess so. Let's take a short rest.
Okay.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast. Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services: what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com.
We've returned.
Indeed we have.
We are fucking back.
Indeed we are.
And we are going to turn into dwarves very kind of fast.
Kind of fast.
I mean, very slowly over the course of the back half of this episode, it'll look like we're turning into dwarves, because I'm going to have my hands all over this stat block. You know what I'm saying? So I have in front of me the Axe of Dwarvish Lords, not Dwarfish Lords. And I have a all the things it does in 5e.
All right, so, cool. Oh, do I have to pull up? Tables, huh? For the beneficial properties.
Oh, you should. You should do that, because I'm about to read that. Yeah.
Get to it.
Do we need dice? I've got them from last episode.
Hold on.
I'm gonna get going. We got a magic weapon on our hands here. The Axe of Dwarvish Lords is a magic weapon that grants a +3 bonus to attack and damage rolls made with it. The axe also functions as a belt of dwarven kind, a dwarven thrower, and a sword of sharpness. All those are cool. I know what one of those does for sure.
Right.
And then we have the random properties. The axe has the following random determined properties: 2 minor beneficial properties, 1 major, and 2 minor detrimental properties.
Ooh. I'm almost there.
Okay.
Sure. All right. I'm there.
Awesome. What do you
all
need?
All right. We need D100s for all of these.
I'll roll them.
All right. Let's start with the minor beneficial. How many we get? You said 2?
2 minor beneficial.
All right. Let's get them.
Okay, so we're rolling the percentile dice, 86.
You got 80 and you got 6.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with the 6. While attuned to the artifact, you gain proficiency in 1 skill of the DM's choice. What do dwarves get? There's no really like craft one in 5e.
Athletics?
Sure, athletics. The 80 is, while attuned to the artifact, you can use an action to cast 1 third level spell chosen by the DM from it. After you cast the spell, roll a d6. On a roll of 1 to 5, you can't cast it again until the next dawn. I think Stone Shape is level 3. I could be wrong, but that's probably the one I'd pick.
Let me check. Stone Shape is a good one. I mean, like Fireball.
Yeah, but you want one that kind of fits the dwarf theme, right?
You're right. Yeah, it's actually a 4th level spell for Stone Shape.
Okay, well, I'm sure Wall of Stone or something stone. Pass Without a Trace.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay,
what
so
do we got next?
Now we have 1 major beneficial property.
All right, let's do it.
Is that D100 as well?
D100, yeah. Okay.
D100 gives me a 47.
47. While attuned to this artifact, your walking speed increases by 10 feet, which is really weird because dwarves are usually it's the opposite.
Yeah, this is a super dwarf. This dwarf is the Flash.
Absolutely.
We want 2 minor detrimental properties.
All right,
here.
Give me that D100.
Okay. The Hundy says, I got a 10 and a 4. So, well, actually, oh, shit. A 10. This is
the 0.
The 0.
And so what'd you get?
And then a 4 on the other one.
While attuned to the artifact, you have disadvantage on saving throws against spells, though. That's really bad.
Mm.
Is that? That's a minor, yeah. That's a minor one. That's pretty bad. I wouldn't hold this axe.
All right, so the next one is... An eight.
An eight? Yeah. Oh, the first time you touch a gem or piece of jewelry while attuned to this artifact, the value of the gem or jewelry is reduced by half.
Holy shit.
You're like the opposite of King Midas.
Yeah, it like crumbles in your hand, becomes smaller.
Which is, again, really weird. I think this isn't actually the Axe of Dwarvish Lords. I think it's in disguise.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a bullshit Axe of Duergar bullshit.
It's got some evil stuff baked in.
All right, let's get the major detrimental property. Does it have one?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, that makes sense.
Next, we have the Blessings of Moradin. If you are a dwarf attuned to the axe, you gain the following benefits. You have immunity to poison damage. The range of your dark vision increases by 60 feet.
Nice.
And you gain proficiency with artisan's tools related to blacksmithing, brewing, and stonemasonry.
Oh, cool. So you get that.
Nice. You also get thick. Conjure Earth Elemental. If you are holding the axe, you can use your action to cast the Conjure Elemental spell from it, summoning an Earth Elemental. You can't use this property again until the next dawn. So to use this, you need like five other pages of stuff.
Right. Yeah, basically. But that's cool.
Yeah, no, it's a big item. It should take a lot of it should be able to do a lot because you're a belt of Dwarvenkind, a Dwarven Thrower, a Sword of Sharpness, and an Earth
Elemental.
Should
I just look all that stuff up real quick?
If you want.
Okay. Belt of Dwarvenkind. Yeah. Probably just makes you stronger.
Yeah, it makes you dwarf strong.
Dwarf strong.
Next we have...
Your con increases by 2 to a maximum of 20. You have an advantage on persuasion checks to maintain interact with dwarves. You have a 50% chance each day at dawn of growing a full beard if you're capable of growing one, or a visibly thicker beard if you already have one.
Holy shit.
If you aren't a dwarf, you gain these benefits. You have advantage on saving throws against poison and resistance to poison damage. You have dark vision to 60 feet, and you can speak, read, write dwarvish. That's the belt of Dwarvenkind.
I know, you're going to like become pseudo Moradin.
Sword of Sharpness.
I already have the Dwarven Thrower up.
Okay, go ahead with that
it's
one.
It's a Warhammer, very rare, requires attunement for, by a dwarf specifically, but since you can wield the axe as not a dwarf, it'll just apply to you, I guess. You gain a +3 bonus to attack and damage rolls made with this magic weapon. It has the thrown property with a normal range of 20 feet and a long range of 60 feet. When you hit with a ranged attack using this weapon, it deals an extra 1d8 damage roll. Or if the target is a giant, 2d8 damage. Immediately after the attack, the weapon flies back to your hand.
Oh, that's good. Yep. I was about to say, I don't know if I'd ever throw this thing, but that part changed my mind.
Yeah. proficiency with a Warhammer allows you to add your proficiency bonus to the attack roll for any attacks you make with it, which, yeah.
It's pretty fucking awesome. You ready for the Sword of Sharpness?
I am.
When you attack an object with this magic sword and hit, maximize your weapon damage dice against it. So you just roll max damage all the time? When you attack your creature with this weapon and roll a roll a 20 on an attack roll, that target takes an extra 14 slashing damage. Then roll another d20. If you roll a 20, you lop off the target's limbs with the effect of such loss. determined by the GM. If the creature has no limbs to sever, you lop off a portion of its body instead. So this is like a reverse Vorpal sword. Instead of chopping off the head, you're chopping off the limbs.
All of them.
In addition, you can speak the sword's command word to cause the blade to shed bright light. Oh, that's a nice little bonus. And dim light for another 10 feet. 10 feet and 10 feet. Speaking the command word again, or sheathing the sword, puts the light out. Jesus, this axe is fucking powerful.
Yeah.
Is this the most powerful thing we've talked about in the show so far?
It's pretty close. I mean, the Rod of Seven Parts or the Wand of Orcus probably rival it.
Yeah, those are probably close, yeah.
Because an Earth Elemental, that's a fifth, Conjure Earth Elemental is a fifth level spell. Yeah. And I'm sure the axe doesn't require you to concentrate on
that. Yeah, you're a one-man wrecking crew with this thing. That's cool.
Pretty much. I mean, like the Earth Elemental showing up makes you a two-man wrecking crew.
But, right, but that's part of the one-man wrecking crew.
Travel the depths. Yeah, you can use an action to touch the axe to a fixed piece of dwarven stonework and cast the teleport spell from the axe. If your intended destination is underground, there is no chance or mishap of arriving somewhere unexpected. You can't use this property again until 3 days have passed. So go anywhere underground.
Pretty cool.
Curse. The axe bears a curse that affects any non-dwarf that becomes attuned to it. Even if the attunement ends, the curse remains.
Oh, shit.
With each passing day, the creature's physical appearance and stature become more dwarf-like, a.k.a. thicker. After 7 days, the creature looks like a typical dwarf, but the creature neither loses its racial traits nor gains the racial traits of a dwarf. The physical changes wrought by the axe aren't considered magical in nature, and therefore can't be dispelled.
You already have the traits of the dwarf if you still have the axe, though, because it gives you the traits of a dwarf, like the poison resistance and all that other stuff.
The physical changes, it can't be dispelled. But they can be undone by any effect that removes a curse, such as greater restoration or remove curse
spell. It's not that bad.
So it's literally a curse.
Yeah.
Now, to destroy the item, which is pivotal.
Oh, yeah, there's suggestions on how to destroy it.
Yeah, on most of these there have been.
Cool, let's hear it.
the only way to destroy the axe is to melt it down in the Earth Heart Forge.
Which we're told doesn't exist anymore, theoretically.
But it says right here, that's where it was created. It's just misinformation. Gaslighting. Dwarven gaslighting. And must remain in the burning forge for 50 years before it finally succumbs to the fire and is consumed.
Wow.
So very cool if you're a dwarf. Not as cool if you're not.
Yeah, because you leave it there and you just hope no one gets it.
Proficiency with the battle axe, blah, 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 and then a bunch of text. So that's it for the 5e stats on the Axe of Dwarves.
All right.
Plus 3 magical axes.
Very formidable.
It'd be slicing fools.
I'm very impressed with it. All right, let's check out the Pathfinder one.
All right. We are in the Axe of Dwarven Lords. It is unique artifact conjuration magical transmutation. You can find it in Game Mastery Guide, page 106. Its usage is held in 2 hands. Its bulk is 3. Its base weapon is Dwarven War Axe. The blade
by the way, a war axe is a two-handed axe, so that is one of the major differences, because the 5e one is a hand axe.
I see. Yeah. Okay. So the blade of this plus 4 major striking keen returning speed dwarven war axe is carved with an intricate design depicting countless generations of dwarven warriors and leaders. It sounds like there's room on this axe for those. The axe has the thrown 30 feet weapon trait in addition to the normal weapon traits for the dwarven war axe. Strikes with the axe deal an additional 1d6 damage to orcs. While the axe is in your possession, you gain a plus 4 item bonus when crafting armor, jewelry, metalworking, stonemasonry, snares, traps, and weapons. That was definitely missing from the other.
Well, you get the crafting stuff with artisan tools, but you didn't get some of those other things.
Yeah. If you are a dwarf, you gain greater dark vision while holding this axe. If you are not a dwarf, you are stupefied 4 while holding the axe, and if you are an orc, you are also drained 4 and enfeebled 4 while holding.
Oh god, I gotta look up so many.
Yeah. So to activate this, it's 3 actions: envision, interact, frequency once per week, effect. The axe casts a 10th level summon elemental spell to conjure an elite elemental avalanche. The spell is automatically sustained, requiring no action on your part, but still allowing you to command the elemental on each of your turns. You can dismiss the spell. And destruction. If an orc beheads a dwarven king with an axe of dwarven lords, the axe rusts away to nothing. That is strangely specific.
Yeah, it's very specific. Hey, do we have a minute to go over some of these conditions?
Yeah.
Stupefied 4. So stupefied, your thoughts and instincts are clouded. Stupefied always includes a value. You take a status penalty equal to this value in intelligence, wisdom, and charisma-based checks and DCs, including will saving throws, spell attack rolls, spell DCs, and skill checks that uses ability scores. Anytime you attempt to cast a spell while stupefied, the spell is disrupted unless you succeed at a flat check with a DC equal to 5 plus your stupefied value. Again, this is a 4 stupefied. What were the other conditions?
Drained and enfeebled. Why don't you look up drained? I'll look up enfeebled.
Both on the same page. Here's enfeebled. You're physically weakened. And was it enfeebled 4 as well?
Yes.
Physically weakened. Enfeebled always has value. When you are enfeebled, you take a status penalty equal to the condition value to strength-based rolls and DCs, including strength-based melee attack rolls, strength-based damage rolls, and athletic checks. So that's strength, wisdom, intelligence, and charisma. Mm-hmm. Let's see if, you said drained, if drained doesn't cover the other last 2 ability scores. Drained. When a creature successfully drains you of blood or life force, you become less healthy. Drained always includes a value. You take a status penalty equal to your drained value on constitution-based checks such as fortitude. You also lose a number of hit points equal to your level times the drained value. So in this case, if you're level 5, so that'd be 20. And your maximum hit points are reduced by the same amount. Each time you get a full night's rest, your drain value decreases by 1 and increases your maximum hit points, but you don't immediately recover the lost hit points. So this hits you in every single ability score by -4, except for dexterity for some reason.
I don't know what that's about, but
it's intense though. That's intense.
You still need to dodge. Yeah. And that's it for, the Axe of the Dwarven Lords from Pathfinder 2nd Edition.
Okay, so it's more on par with like a normal magic item in Pathfinder 2nd Edition. It's not so much like the 5e version is like super artifact. Like this is super powerful, very rare. This other one seems like it's powerful, it's rare, it gives you stuff, but it's not overwhelming.
I don't know. It's still summoning. It sounds like the elementals way stronger in Pathfinder.
Okay, so yeah, no, you're right. That does actually put it up. I forgot about that part. I was looking up the conditions at that point.
Yeah, it's doing a lot of stuff. I think the 5e one probably is slightly stronger.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you're teleporting around underground and shit.
You're doing a lot. The 5e one was a lot.
The Pathfinder one feels more like something you find in a temple, you know, that you shouldn't touch.
Right.
You know,
right.
The 5e one feels like
a legendary
artifact. I want to use it. Like, I don't care if I look like a fucking dwarf. I am a dwarf, or I don't mind if I am a dwarf
now.
Yeah.
Like, I love dwarves.
Whatever. I like that you get cursed. Like, there's more downside to the 5e one for sure.
Yeah, but then I think more plus side to balance it out.
Unless you orc. Oh, on the Pathfinder one. Unless you want orc.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if you wanted to. You have to head. There's got to be some lore that we don't know about.
Well, I mean, Pathfinder I think one. The idea here is that orcs are like the traditional enemies of the dwarves in Pathfinder,
uh-huh.
and like the sacrilegious horror of your most hated enemy beheading the leader and king of the dwarves with the artifact that most represents like the pride and history of dwarves is just such a powerful.
The axe can't
symbolic.
Take it.
The axe can't take it. Like so symbolic.
It knows enough to know it happened, but doesn't know enough to know that it could have done something to prevent the killing.
Sure.
Like, why don't you go to Rust, but like on the swing, you know, stop the king from dying.
So in Pathfinder Second Edition, I don't know about First Edition, but in Second Edition, symbology has power.
Okay.
There's an entire class called Thaumaturge that's built around it. So the Thaumaturge is like a weird. You can build it in a bunch of different ways, but it's a weird superstitious class that like can make things. It's kind of like sympathy in Name of the Wind. You know how like something that is more like something can affect that thing when you use your willpower?
Yeah.
That's kind of how Thaumaturgy is in Pathfinder 2nd Edition, where like something has power because you believe it does because there's a connection between what this is made out of and the history of that thing, and suddenly you believe in it so hard that it actually happens.
Right, and that's why knowing something's name is all crazy because it connects to the thing personally.
Yeah. Okay. So I feel like that's what's happening here, is like the symbology of the whole ordeal is so powerful, the axe just explodes.
No, it just dissolves into rust. Like it got Thanos snapped.
Yeah, it gets Thanos snapped.
Thanos snaps itself. It's like, nah, I can't do this anymore, you guys.
All right. Anything else you want to add about the Axe of Dwarvish Lords?
No. Anything else that you want to add?
No, I think it was good. I like this episode. I like this artifact. I don't know if it's my favorite artifact this year, but it's a contender for sure.
It's not my favorite. I like the Rod of Seven Parts and the Wand of Orcus. Wand of Orcus has been my favorite so far.
You can't beat the Wand of Orcus. You just can't. I mean, he can.
And the YouTube comments we got about Driss Duwarden and his armor.
His defender. Defender sword. Yeah.
That's all been my favorite.
Let's take a long rest.
Okay. Hey everybody, welcome to the Long Rest. This is the part of the episode where we turn into dwarves and we go back underground to chill.
I've been a dwarf.
Yeah. Well, you have. We were both dwarves for a while. We lived at night.
It's very true.
In a tunnel complex.
Yep. Grew beards.
We grew beards. Became thicker.
He became a lot thicker.
Oh man. Okay. Well, talk about the backer kit.
Okay.
Do
hey.
It. Go fly, my child. Tell them.
So we're writing a book. We've written most of it. We have written a book called Starseeker's Guide to Drakenstar. It's a science fantasy space opera setting for a 5th edition D&D. It's based off of our campaign, SuperQuest Saga, where I took Josh Freeland, Jake, and Brian here on an adventure into deep galactic space 100,000 years in the future. And the show did great, and you guys ended up funding a Kickstarter for it, and I thank you guys for it. But for all you guys out there that missed the Kickstarter and still want to get a book, now's your chance. Go to drakenstar.com, and you can pre-order your book through BackerKit. It's going to take you to Kickstarter, and you'll see a button right there saying pre-order book. If you already did back the Kickstarter, but you wanted to up your pledge or grab some of these other goodies, like the Celestial Dragon Dice Set or the awesome poster of our original cover done by an amazing artist named, I don't got his name on me, but his first name was Ioannis. He's wonderful. I'll go ahead and put a link to his stuff as well. Then you can get that there as well. So if you guys are interested in checking out a book that we've written that we've poured a lot of love and work into based off of a campaign setting that means just a ton to both me, Brian, and everyone who's part of it, and want something to add to your D&D game, Not just the setting itself, but I've been working really hard on tools like a custom species creator where you can create your own custom race or species with the tools that we have in there. And it's applicable to any setting whatsoever. We're also implementing a new magic weapon system and armor system that includes upgrades and stuff that could be, again, implemented in any setting and amongst some other things. If you want to check that out, check out the backer kit, drakenstar.com. That's DRAKENSTAR.com. The link is in the description. We'd appreciate your support. This has been one of the most rewarding experiences of my life, and I cannot wait to get this book into everyone's hands.
It's going to be awesome. Definitely highly recommend everything Will said. Very, very on point. And by the way, the feed continues with Flashbang and the Surgeon. So if you guys want to check out a superhero game, I definitely won't be making a fucking book about that one. This is a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
So good on the team.
Although I would pay for that.
I know it would be really cool. Okay, so never say die. Maybe we'll talk about it. If you guys cry out like a lot of people did for Super Quest Saga. But yeah, check out Flashbang and the Surgeon, actual play content of a superhero game set in Waterdeep. And people that have been listening to it know at this point that Waterdeep is also like a pseudonym for Gotham City in Forgotten Realms for this campaign. So they fuse and combine into one entity where they are both one and the same. And develop so. So one of the cool things about the show is the development of the lore and the way the city changes and how the players have development on that. So we're also celebrating the march to 50K subscribers on YouTube.
We're on the hunt for 50K.
We're in the 47 range right now,
so
moving
close
towards 48. And, you know, it's this steady march that's been moving since the life of the show. That number does matter, like, a whole bunch to lots of people.
Indeed.
That can make the show, like, I don't know, can make...
Do better, do more,
make it
have
do better, more. Yeah, it's just...
No, 50K is a good milestone. At just a glance, people will... interact with us on the business end a bit differently. So we're really looking forward to the milestone, and
yeah,
we are doing a 50K giveaway. So if you are listening to us or watching us and are not subscribed, please subscribe. Go ahead and like one of our videos and comment in one of our videos, and you'll be entered to win a copy of Baldur's Gate 3, which is coming out this August. Looks like an amazing game. I'm always on the fence when it comes to CRPGs. This one looks like one of the best ones I've ever seen. So cool. I'm personally interested. I'm going to try and convince Brian to do a stream of the game for you guys. Maybe here on YouTube, we'll see. We're going to talk about it later, but we're giving away a copy. So if you want to get a copy, go ahead, subscribe, help us get to 50K, and you'll be entered to win.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. Response to that, so we've been making a push for people to review the show and leave comments and like use the Apple podcast system to leave 5-star reviews and ratings and stuff, and you guys have come out and done that, some of you, so thank you very much. If you would like to go do that, it helps the show a lot for visibility. It gets us new opportunities to expand and collaborate, so thank you guys so much for doing that. But because this is like a YouTube promotion, I'm going to read some YouTube comments this time. So I went to the Wand of Orcus episode because that had some really choice comments.
Of course it did.
And I'm going to read all the choicest comments.
Okay, great.
I'm going to read a lot of them because there's a lot of good ones.
Okay.
The first one we got was, now this is what I enjoy, managing to sneak in demon content into the magic item era. That was from Hey Samuel here.
Yeah.
So thanks, Hey Samuel here. We responded to some of these. I'm just going to read the initial comment. I imagine he orchestrates a lot of his master plots with that wand in mind. That was from Mr. Dragon.
Thank you, Mr. Dragon, for your insightful comment.
Why can't I change my wiener like Orcus? That's from Kyle Overkill.
Oh, my Christ.
Let's see here. Oh, I think in that episode I had mentioned how some of the YouTube comments had gotten a little weird.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because they had for a little while. Josh Wilkins says, felt the weird commenter in my heart. Work nights, so usually drunk by the time the show posts. Love you guys. Sorry, Brian. I think I responded that. That wasn't to like shame anyone.
No, not
really,
at all.
Actually. It was just like a fun quip. We enjoy all the YouTube comments, whether they're filled with positivity and love or not. You know, we're open to critique on the show, so it's not about that either. It's just like some of them are kind of out of left field. I just thought I'd mention it. They've been really nice ever since.
Ever since. It's so true.
Maybe people check themselves before they wreck themselves.
That's so funny.
Dungeons and Demons at its finest. Thanks, guys. Ryan Nelson. I know we love demon shit on the show.
Yeah.
The audience knows it, and they respond. Great video. Now we need Demon Lord of the Gain Staff, the Staff of Frazer Blue, from Sean McDaniel.
Absolutely.
We should do that. Orcus, 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 Orcus by Mach 6. Thank you. Thank you for that comment. I am also amazed I made it to the end of this video. It was ...hard.
Oh my god.
So in this portion of the show, I like to comment, like, thank you for listening to the end of the show. I'm sure this was about that. That was really funny. But it was by Bethany Johnston. let me scroll. I'm not going to read all these. A lot of them are so fucking good. Let's see. I'll read this one just because it struck a chord. You guys still seem bitter about Wizards of the Coast trying some fuckery. They tried and failed. They'll try again. Only thing we can do is keep a watch out for it. You're absolutely right. Last name L choose. Something like that.
Indeed.
I don't know, but you're right. Yeah. Fuck them.
Yeah.
And just so you guys, just to be clear, like, the people that work there, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the corporate entities that live and breathe that stuff. So, yeah, fuck them. Let's see here. There's got to be another dick one close by.
There's got to be another dick one.
Shout out to Orcus, the baddest demon prince of the abyss. You're close.
Ooh,
close
opinions.
One. That was from Doom, one. From Doom Guy. Let's see.
Hey, Doom Guy, it's okay to be wrong.
Good vid, guys. Thanks. From Timothy Hanna.
Thanks, Timothy. I love the sweet ones like that.
Yeah,
that
those are great.
I love those.
Those are always solid.
I always like, I check my pocket and I see that. I was like, oh,
there's
you.
A lot of
thank
talk.
You.
Now there's a lot of talk about the positive energy plane. And I think you behold Orcus on his throne.
Oh, I remember the positive energy plane. I think there was confusion because you were reading it and I mistook what you read, I think.
There was some,
I know
there was
what
some,
the positive plane was. I thought you read the specific positive plane the soul came from.
Yeah, so we...
There is the positive planes, but there's also the plane of positive energy.
Yeah, we're not perfect. We make mistakes on the show, and it's okay to call that out in the comments. We're never mad about it.
Yeah.
We honestly, if we could have like a redo, we would go and include it, but that's just not how this works.
Yeah.
So sorry if we fuck something up. We try to address it or do better next time. For the last one I'll read... you behold Orcus on his throne, gripping his terrible rod.
Oh, no.
Across from him are paintings of Loth Malkathet.
Okay,
I'm going to stop there.
All right, let's stop. We're the Dungeon Cast, but we're not.
Okay,
shit.
I should have expanded that comment before I began to read, because there's a gap between the first line. That was fucking awesome, though.
Whoa.
You can go to the Wand of Orcus episode and read that yourself. I won't be saying it. But thank you. That was actually a lot of fun to read through some of those. We appreciate you guys a lot.
I think I need to call it a game.
I want to shout out to I think his name is Benway22 on YouTube.
He's been marching through
the episodes and leaving comments and likes and subscribes on everything.
We see
so,
you.
So thank you. I wanted to mention you specifically, and ST as well. They're now a patron. We. The people that regularly comment on YouTube and generally are nice about it, like, that's awesome. Like,
yeah, and we do notice.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. We get, like, you know, there's a YouTube creators app where you can, like, look at everything coming in real time or close to it. We really appreciate you guys a lot on the YouTube side, even though, you know, like, the podcast side of things is much bigger for our show, but we do put a lot of effort into the YouTube side as well. And having you guys there, we just really appreciate it a lot. So thank you. Our next episodes are going to be full of cool shit. I feel like we're... Oh, yeah. Go to patreon.com/dungeoncast if you want to support. We've got a Twitter, even though that seems like it's... Twitter just in general seems like it's on its death. It's on its death legs here.
I'll tell you what, man. Internet's weird these days.
Internet's getting weird.
We're on Twitter. And if you tweeted us or messaged us, I try and get back to you.
Yeah. And
I do pretty good about it.
I'm on Instagram at soundsgoodinc.com. Just soundsgoodinc. And then you can, I get messages there from you guys sometimes. And then, or people send me videos and memes of stuff, which I appreciate. So, you know, I see it. Also, Discord. If you want to interact with us, like on a chat level, you can go in there if you're cool. Dopey not cool though. might not respond to not cools.
Indeed.
We've got a special channel in the Discord for Patreon members. So if you are on Patreon and you're not in there, you can get in there. Talk about we got early episode releases. So if you want to chat about episodes before they drop on the main feed, that's one of the best places to do it. Also, just like in Patreon comments too, when they drop. And we've also got like the Tier Omega where we're doing actual play stuff, and eventually Super Quest Omega will air once we get all that sorted out. We're working on Unhollowed right now, and like a bunch of, we got a lot of stuff moving on Patreon. That's it takes a long time to make a whole fucking show and drop it. So thanks to everybody being patient with that. What's the name of that game we dropped in there so far? Goblin Punks is in there.
Fucking hilarious.
The Sexy Battle Wizards. What did we do after? Did we do Sexy Battle Wizards next?
Yes.
That one's on the way. I think I have it all lined up and almost ready to drop. And then
there was the 5-second rule.
5-second rule is on there too. It will be on there eventually. And then now we're going to be working on Dungeon Crawl Classics very soon. Mm-hmm. So that's stuff in the works. That's going to be out on Patreon soon. And let's call it a game after that, because I don't have much else to say.
All right. Let's call it a game. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
The Dungeon Cast.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.